Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you in the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen.
Messages are wonderful things. We speak messages, we write messages, we hear messages, we deliver messages, we send messages by air and sea and land, by computer, by mobiles. But sometimes messages can be incomplete, or not give the full story, or be left short, or not very detailed. Before her death in 1948, my grandmother was bedridden for some years, and my father and his brother, two single men, were going on holiday, but they were very bad letter or postcard writers in those days. So their mum said to them, "I'll give you the money for postcards. I'll give you the stamps. You're going for 2 weeks. One of you send a postcard home the first week, and the other send a postcard home the second week." Now, this is a famous story in the McDade family. Because my dad wrote home the first week, "Weather good, food good, love Harold." And his brother Roy wrote home the second week, "Weather still good, Harold has given you all the news, love Roy." Now, maybe over these last few weeks, you have received or sent Christmas cards, and there is still a place for snail mail even in today's world. Because often a card will contain a message which encourages you, lifts you up. And messages, as I've said, are wonderful things, but sometimes they can even be misinterpreted. I heard of a man sent by his company to an island in the Pacific who wrote one postcard home each day to his fiancée, to whom he would soon be married. One word a day on each postcard to build up a romantic message. Ah. The message he sent was, "Found island paradise here. It's yours, my love, Matthew." Ah. But the postcards were delivered in the wrong order. So the message she received was, "Find my love here, it's Paradise Island, yours, Matthew." The wedding did not take place. Messages are wonderful things. And this Matthew writes to his readers to give them a message. He talks of 5,000 and more people being fed. He talks of the miracles of healing he has seen. He talks of preaching and teaching and the power of Jesus. This Matthew gives a message. He talks about how Jesus calls and challenges and convicts and convinces and commissions and even controls lives that are surrendered to him. Yes, this Matthew gives a message, as Suzanne read for us this morning. But as we read this story of Jesus walking on the water in Matthew 14, I wonder what it says to you and me today. How do we react to it? I'm going to preach for the next hour this morning on the subject of reactions. and I'm looking to see how you react. Some of you think I'm not serious. Some of you hope I'm not serious. Some of you worry that I might be serious. Some of you haven't really been listening to what I've been saying anyway. You see, I think there are three reactions to this story in Matthew. You may be on the shore, not really interested in Jesus. You may be on the ship with Jesus. Or you may be on the sea in faith and trust in Jesus' power. Where are you? Where are you? Verse 22. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land. The Bible says Jesus was on the shore, alone on the mountain. The disciples were on the ship. The crowds were dispersed. They were scattered on the shore. Jesus was alone up the mountain. Jesus was here. The crowds were here. They were separated, distant from each other, apart, not really interested. Is that you this morning? One of the crowd, yes. Yes, they were fed with the loaves and the fish, but they only wanted mother's pride, and Jesus had come to give them father's life. Yes, you come to church, but are you really interested in Jesus? Are you really interested in following him? Or is Jesus over there and you're over here and you want to keep him at arm's length? Jesus is on the shore praying for you, longing for you to come to him. And you are on the shore, but distant from him, keeping your distance, keeping your distance. And even if you're being tossed about in the storms of life and problems and worries and difficulties, you think you can handle that okay. You still want to keep Jesus distant. A while ago, pre-COVID, I was at a meeting and it was very warm in the room. About 60 people were there. And the speaker was interesting, but a wasp had got in and was buzzing around, and people were watching it and trying to swat it and shoo it away. And I was interested how one tiny insect could so disturb so many people. How their interest could so easily be distracted from the speaker by this tiny, tiny menace in their midst. And the preacher once was speaking about the gospel to a church full of people, but he became aware that their attention was wandering, their eyes were glazing over, they were thumbing through the hymn book, they were sneaking a look at their watch or their mobile. So he paused. And then in an unchanged tone of voice, he said, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. And their attention was fixed on him. Their attention was fixed on him. And he said, sadly, you'll be captivated by the words of a child's nursery rhyme. But to the majesty of the message that Christ died for you, you're no longer listening. Jesus is searching for you today, if you haven't already come to him. But you're on the shore. You keep him distant. You keep him far away. You keep him at arm's length. To you, he is a stranger on the shore. Or perhaps to change the image around slightly, maybe instead you are on the ship with Jesus. For the story says, Jesus left the shore and came to them in the midst of the storm. Verse 24, when evening came, he was on the shore alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. Maybe today you are not distant, you're not separated, you're not apart from Jesus. Maybe today your interest in Jesus is real. You've trusted him as Savior. You're walking with him as Master. You're leaning on him as Lord. And you've asked him to come aboard in your life. You're on the ship and Jesus has come to you and you're sharing your life, your loves, your troubles, your joys, your work, your friends, your life with him. And you're not terrified of him as the disciples were, who thought he was a ghost. But you trust him. You're not on the shore, distant, far away from him. You're on the ship, and Jesus has come on board your life. He is the captain of your salvation. Is that you today? It's okay. Dear Mr. McDade, spelt wrongly, but no matter. Congratulations, you have won a place in our prize draw for £500,000. You are a winner. Here is your personal password and certificate to claim your prize. All you have to do is agree to read 743 books a week for the next 97 years as a member of our book club, and your name may be one of those chosen in our prize draw. We don't get junk mail like this so much nowadays. It's more emails or texts, usually. But in these days when the temptation of gambling, of getting something for nothing, is everywhere, the best thing to do with them is to delete the message or chuck the letters in the bin. But the Bible tells me that in Jesus, I am a winner. The Bible tells me in Jesus I am a winner. The Bible reminds me that when Jesus comes on board my life, I am a winner. I have victory over death. I have victory over troubles. I have victory over problems. I have victory over temptation. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm as I go sailing home. And so can you. So can you. Are you on the ship with Jesus, or are you still on the shore far away? Or finally, are you on the sea with Jesus? Verse 28. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter came on the sea. He stepped out of the boat and he came on the sea. He trusted in Jesus and he came on the sea. He responded to Christ's call and he came on the sea. But when he felt the wind, when he saw the waves, maybe not as high as those, but certainly there was a storm. When he began to think of the danger he was in, then he began to sink. And he says, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And gently Jesus reaches out his hand and lifts him up and encourages him. "Peter, why did you doubt? You were doing so well. Why did you doubt?" I wonder, has Jesus called you and there is no doubt in your mind? Has Jesus called you and there's no ambiguity about it? Has Jesus called you and it is very clear to you? Has Jesus called you and you've responded to his call? You have said, as Peter said, "Lord, save me." And he has. But he says, "Trust me even more. You're on the ship. Step out onto the sea." You're in a Christian community. That's great. That's wonderful. It gives you strength. But take a step of faith into the world as my witness, and I will hold you up. Is that what Jesus is saying to you today? And where might he be calling you to go? What might he be calling you to do? We began by looking at messages and how they can be confused, and what is meant isn't always what is heard, how the meaning isn't always clear. I wonder if you remember Blind Date on TV with Cilla Black and Laura Laughs. Now, we still have similar programs, but today they are often very risque, so-called reality television with the Kardashians, if ever they are. But in those more innocent times of Blind Date, after Jason had picked Joanne and they go out together, and it shows you the pictures of them picking tulips in Amsterdam, and then they show film clips of them on their own saying what they thought of each other, and how the same thing would be seen differently by them both. He would say, she would compliment me. And she would say, he would say nice things, and I felt I had to reply. He would say, she was shy. I had to keep chatting her up to get her to talk. And she would say, he went on and on and on. I couldn't get a word in edgewise. He would say, she really fancied me another couple of days and we'd have been okay. And she would say, honestly, a week with him and I'd have been bananas. He would say, she kept looking at me. I got embarrassed, kept thinking my hair was wrecked. And she would say, he was so vain. Not the least embarrassed, every time we passed a glass window, he'd be smoothing his hair. You see, the same situation, but different views of it. But with Jesus, there is no ambiguity. No two ways about it. With Jesus, he calls your name and you come to him. He challenges and convicts and convinces and commissions you. John, Joe, Glenn, David, Drew, you. Debbie, Vicky, Helen, Suzanne, Louise, you. He calls you by name. So where is your relationship with Jesus today? Are you still on the shore? A stranger on the shore, far away from Jesus, not interested in him at all, keeping him at arm's length at all costs? Or are you on the ship with Jesus in command of your life, following him as Savior and teacher, but not fully trusting, not fully yielding to his call as Lord? Or are you on the sea, hearing him call your name, holding his outstretched hand, having confidence in his power over the storms of life, walking with him and working for him? And when you both get into the boat together, you worship him as the disciples did, and you say, verse 33, Lord, Lord, truly you are the Son of God. Let us pray. Loving Father God, if we are still on the shore and you are a stranger to us, yes, we know all about you in our head. We've maybe learned it in Sunday school. We've rehearsed it in our mind and even read the Bible from time to time. But we're still on the shore, far away from you, not interested in your power in our life at all. Challenge us, Lord. Challenge us not just to step onto the ship, but into your power. Or maybe today we are on the ship and you are in command of our life and we are following him, knowing our sins forgiven and you are teaching us, but we are not fully trusting you. We're not fully yielding to your call to take your power, to take your power into the world, our world, where we are day by day. Or maybe today we are on the sea. We have heard you call us by name. You're holding your outstretched hand and lifting us, guiding us, encouraging us. Help us to have confidence in your power over the storms of life and to encourage others to have that same confidence by what we say, by what we do, by who we are, so that they, like us, can say, Lord, truly you are the Son of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.